Just a reminder, there's a sermon outline inside your worship folder on a half sheet of paper if you'd like to follow along with the sermon in that way. There's a story told about a woman whose husband asked her to help him lose a few pounds. And so she stopped serving the high-calorie snacks that, you know, he loved and that kind of got him to where he was, the cookies and the chips, and she swapped all these things for this. Yeah, celery. Perfect diet food, right? Some of you are thinking. And so one night he's munching away on this snack and a TV ad caught his attention. He's watching this ad as longingly. It was of a person who's spreading this gooey chocolate kind of gooiness, goodness, frosting over a freshly baked cake. It looked amazing. And after the ad, he turns to his wife and he feels a bit sad and dejected looking at his celery. And he says, "Do you ever notice they never advertise celery on TV?" We live in a culture that is obsessed with self-improvement. And yet we constantly sabotage ourselves, don't we? If you look at the status of some of the things that we struggle with today, you can easily pull together a list of some of the bad habits that entangle us. And I went online and found one group listed as a top 10 of the worst habits that people are trying to break. Number 10, and maybe this is some of you here today, I don't know. And so do you agree with these or not? So number 10 is snacking. 9, nail biting. 8, procrastinating. 7, swearing. 6, gum snapping. 5 is being late all the time, tardiness. 4 is interrupting. 3 is gossip. 2 is fidgeting. And the number one bad habit people are trying to break is excessive screen time. Does this surprise any of you here today? This shouldn't really, but even especially based on the series that we have been walking through. Even the culture today is saying that all of the time we spend looking at a screen is hurting us, but yet we can't seem to look away. In fact, we're digging in deeper with the introduction of AI, and we haven't even seen the full impact of what that's going to have on us as a people. Time will tell on that one. It's already impacting us. And so, in fact, in 2026, the average person looks at their screen, any guesses how many hours a day? 6 hours and 54 minutes per day. For Gen Zers, that jumps to nearly 9 hours per day. This is somewhere around 42% of waking hours people are looking at their screens. Played out, that's about 19-plus years of our life. We're looking at a screen, staring at a screen blankly, maybe like these pictures behind me. And yet this mountain seems awfully high, doesn't it, to break, to climb, to break this bad habit. The good news is it is not impossible. With Christ, all things are possible, right? Paul, in our text today, even gives a path for us to kind of kick these bad habits to the curb, as we're going to look at here this morning. And as we open our text to the New Testament, Paul shows us a church that is dealing with its own set of bad habits. It's not midnight snacking or nail biting or some phone addiction, but certainly Paul gives a laundry list of things that they are wrestling with. Bitterness, explosive anger, slander, constant fighting, and more within the church. And yet, Paul, through it all, he points us to not a very surprising place. He points us to Jesus, where Paul urges us to replace the old with new. And so Paul challenges the believers to put away those old ways of living, the bad habits, the anger, the bitterness, the fighting. He calls these things clothes, a set of clothing, to take off those filthy rags. Now imagine wearing the same outfit day after day after day, because they were wearing their anger. They were wearing their bitterness and fighting day after day after day, month after month, week after week, year after year, wearing the same set of clothes without washing them once. To be honest, we'd stink, right? If we wore the same clothes day after day, imagine sitting next to someone wearing the same set of clothes year after, they're wearing them year after year, working with them. Maybe it's your spouse, hugging them, or your teenager, right? Wearing the same outfit since maybe Christmas, since VBS a year ago. No amount of Axe would cover the fumes in this place, right? If you wore the same outfit day after day after day without washing them, you'd be offensive to everyone, right? We'd look like this, and we'd walk around like this next picture. And yeah, Paul says your old habits are exactly like those dirty set of clothes that we keep wearing again and again and again, that they are beyond cleaning. They stink. They are foul. That's what sin does. It stinks things up. No amount of Tide or bleach can restore the set of clothes that we wear every day. There's only one solution. One solution to where we find ourselves, to completely strip them off and to let the old man be put to death and to look to Jesus, to put off and to put on, to replace the old with the new. As Paul says in our text today, I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment. Paul says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Let's join together. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, to put off and to put on the clothes of Jesus, to put off the old daily bad habits that so entangle us. Paul knew full well the struggles of life in this world. Remember those words he says we saw a moment ago from Romans 7? What I want to do, I don't do. What I hate, that I keep on doing. How many times do we catch ourselves doing that same old thing, like a dog returning to his vomit? And yet we do it again and again and again. But the thing about the clothes that we wear, the clothes on the outside, reveal the health of the heart on the inside. The words we use often reveal what's going on in our hearts. The actions that we commit, the things that we surround ourselves with impacts us. And so put off the old. And so we're in this series wrapping up today looking at how technology is changing us. You know, technology isn't a bad thing in and of itself. It's a tool. But yet so many times we cross that line into a place where it becomes unhealthy for us. And there may be some habits the Holy Spirit has been nudging us these past weeks and telling us in our hearts it's time to put it off. It's time to take off these old habits. As Ephesians 4 reminds us, Paul says, do not give the devil a foothold. And sometimes we're not even merely giving the devil a foothold. We're opening the door. We're saying to him, welcome in. That's what social media is doing in our homes, in our hearts today. Data shows that what we allow into our homes and what we watch on our screens shapes who we are and what we become. We need boundaries to move away from passively allowing these things into our homes, into our families, into our hearts. I mean, look at the state of family today, how parenting alone has changed dramatically these past several years. Many parents have completely thrown in the towel when it comes to technology today and don't regulate their children's screen time at all. Civic science found that 40% of parents don't limit their kids' screen time. And yet we forget this technology, this phone that we have in our hands, the things that we're watching on the screen. Technology is designed to be seamless and addictive. It requires no effort to let it take over. So when we like something, when we heart something, emoji something, when we scroll or doom scroll, they even call it, and when we're scrolling, you know, through Facebook or Instagram or whatever your thing is of choice, it's like a hit of dopamine. that's changing our bodies. As Arthur Brooks says, he says, your phone isn't just a tool. It's training your brain. Every notification and every swipe trains your dopamine system. The more you chase easy pleasure, the more you like, the more you share, the more you do all these things, the less capable you become of enjoying anything deeply. Played out over time, what happens is life is just okay. We lose the joy of watching a sunset. We lose the joy of eating a great meal without taking a picture of it first. We lose the joy of just each other's company. Data proves that if a family doesn't intentionally put up a Christ-centered barrier, your technology will make the choice for you. It's addictive, and yet we're opening the doors wide open into our homes, into our hearts, and just allowing this technology to do what has been designed to do, to addict you. So let's put off the old. And yet Paul urges us not to walk around naked, but to put on Jesus, to put on the new. Because there is a time to put off, so real relationships with Jesus and with others can be put on. To aim for this list of things that you see in the Bible verse behind me. We were not created for digital isolation, but for deep face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, kneecap-to-kneecap relationships. Not relationships through a screen where you can't see the other person and engage them in real life, life that is shared together. It's no mistake that Paul calls the church the body of Christ. We all are different parts in this body. We need each other. You know, as the Apostle John even captures this beautifully, as he says in 2 John 1, he says, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Let's join together. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. He doesn't want to use paper and ink, the latest technology at the time, right? He wants to meet face to face, to talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. This idea of establishing boundaries is not a new thing. It actually goes back to the Old Testament. If you remember, there's stories about in the Old Testament about pillars being established, like kind of altars of remembrance being put up at key moments in Israel's history. They're kind of like a boundary marker, these piles of stone and an altar of remembrance. Several times through Israel's history, this was done. I have a few of them behind me here. Under Joshua, 12 stones were taken from the dry bed of the Jordan River and built into an altar. Then there's what's known as the Ebenezer, the stone of help, raised up by Samuel in 1 Samuel 7. And then there's a pillar of stones that were piled by Jacob at Bethel after a vision that he had of heaven. And these stones are placed there so when the next generation sees them, and the generation after that, and after that, and after that, sees these piles of stones, they ask, what does this mean? Very Lutheran thing, right? What does this mean? And then us as parents and grandparents, great-grandparents, can tell the story of God's faithfulness, of God's deliverance for you and me and all creation. These pillars are used to remember God's faithfulness, moments that we never want to forget. These stones kept families rooted. Where through these stones, God is saying, you are my child. You are mine. Because that's what boundary markers do. They establish a boundary to say we're not going to go beyond this. And so, these stories kept, again, families rooted. And it's time for us to establish and maybe reestablish family stones, family pillars in our own homes. And maybe even for the church today as well, places that we're going to say, this is what we as families are about. This is who we are, to draw a line in the sand around God's word, around worship life together, around just being Jesus' hands and feet in the community today. And so leads us to this final point. It's time for us to establish your family stone, your family altars. You think about how much the phone has changed through the years. And there's a story told about a German named Philip Reis, who actually invents the phone some 15 years before Alexander Graham Bell. His invention transmitted music, and not yet speech, but he was very close to transmit speech, but he wasn't quite there. And yet, when he went to the investors to try to sell this invention to the investors, they were not interested. Some of the critics were saying the telegraph was good enough for us. So he walked away discouraged, and he gave up. Rice missed fame. He missed the opportunity. He quit too early. One unknown person has said, maybe you've heard this quote before, it's great. He says, "Every great oak was once a nut that stood its ground." Every great oak was once a nut that stood its ground. Church, it's time for us to plant some nuts in our homes, in our lives. A nut of we are a home grounded in Jesus. Another nut of we are grounded in the Word. Another nut of we regularly worship. We serve together as a family. We come to VBS and help out even when we don't have kids in VBS anymore, because we want to be the hands and feet of Christ to introduce Jesus to new people that don't know Him yet. There are more than just stories, and these are more than just nuts that we plant, but moments that link us to past generations, other generations who took the time to plant those nuts and seeds into our lives, seeds of the gospel that were watered and nurtured through the Holy Spirit that grew over time. And I'm sure we can think of people who planted that seed of faith into us. We have an opportunity to do the same in others, to plant those nuts. It's like we're connecting those dots from one generation to the next, and if we follow them, they lead us not only to our past, but they lead us to the future as well. So where do we go from here as we wrap up this series here today? Well, some starting questions and maybe to kind of get you thinking about how to establish these family altars, these family stones, is to ask yourself this: what are your family stories? What are your family stories that need to be told, that you pass on from one generation to the next? What is your faith journey? Who are the people that impacted you, that planted those seeds in your heart, in your life, that shaped your story? Some of these moments are good moments, incredible moments. And some of these moments, to be honest, were hard. Moments where you didn't know if you're going to make it from one day to the next. And the Bible is filled with these stories. Stories of brokenness. But yet in the brokenness, God did miracles. And that leads us to the unfiltered challenge, the final one of the series today, simply called Seeds. Or we could have called it Nuts, but that sounds a little awkward, doesn't it? But the basic heart of it is this: have a conversation with your family. To tell your stories of faith, the people that shaped you, the people that encouraged you, that made you who you are in your faith journey today. And to tell these stories, and just know that Jesus is at work in your family, planting the seed of the cross in you and beyond. As Paul says in Colossians 1, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, at the right hand of God." Because in all of this, as we put off and put on, what we are putting on is we are aiming to Jesus, aiming to Christ, and trying to stop just being passive participants in our families, just passively allowing these phones to change us, and to plant those nuts, to plant those seeds of the gospel. And it starts here. It starts now. And just ask Paul, He'll tell you. It's time to put off and to put on. So let me ask you here today, who here feels like a nut? Let's go plant some. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this gospel nugget that you have planted into our hearts and into our lives, into our families. This gospel that changes, that is life itself. And so we pray that in our own homes and in our lives, in our families, you would lead us to establish some boundaries around technology. Technology isn't a bad thing, but yet we've allowed it to become that. Allow us to establish boundaries that are healthier, that lead to you as we aim to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We give you our families and pray that you would lead these places to once again be Christ-centered, not technology-centered, but that we need you more. We need you most in our lives. Father, thank you for the grace and the joy and the love to live unfiltered lives in your grace and peace. In your name we pray. Amen.